Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is March 20th, 2013, and I welcome you to the Low Sodium Show here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. My name is Mark Menicker-Wheeler, and I'm your host, just like every other Wednesday for the past 2.5 years. So welcome. I'm really excited about tonight's show. You know, and why is Mark excited? The reason I'm excited is because we're going to talk about frogs. You know, not necessarily catching frogs, but using frogs to catch fish. And first thing everyone thinks of is when they hear the word frog is they think bass. And granted, I love throwing frogs for bass. It makes me so excited. There's those little things in my head that go off when I hear about throwing, or when I know the conditions are correct for throwing frogs. Literally, it's just a big old... come on, there it is. Come on, that's right. In my head, I just got this going. There's going to be some love happening between some of my mustard hooks and a big old bass's mouth. It's kind of kinky. So we're going to talk about that. and trust me, I love my frog legs, too. They are delicious. But we're going to talk about all the tackle you're going to need to fish with frogs, the whole idea behind them, and how you can incorporate them into not just bass, but for, you know, muskie, pike, big crappie, species like that, and how it can really open up your game and really turn it around for you. So definitely you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We also got the pig of the week. I want to talk about the Bass Masters guys fishing Falcon starting tomorrow. A little bit of what you should look for and for you to join the Yak Angler team. So, with no further ado, let's say hello to Yak Chum in the chat room. Guests, remember, you can sign in via your social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, whatever. You can sign in and chat along right with us right there. Register at Blog Talk Radio and you'll have no issues. Or you can call in. The number is 714-816-4727. I do apologize. I got a piece of candy in my mouth. Or actually, it's a cough drop, as you can probably tell. We're going to get it started with Frog Slate. Like I said, it's a Kermit show. It's not easy being green, and we're going to talk more about being green. But first, a word from my personal sponsors. Remember, folks, all the commercials and stuff you hear tonight are from my personal sponsors. One of my personal sponsors are actually in the chat room right now, Tommy Head Jigs. And we're talking about how we can incorporate even Tommy Head Jigs in your frog fishing scenario. So without further ado, one of my personal sponsors, or two, or maybe three. We never know. Let's kick it off.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
What is a fish show? A fish is an angler that uses unfair lures. It's as simple as that, folks. Get out there, check them out. But with the unfair lures, Rip and Slash and Dinkum's Mullet, completely changing the face of bass fishing, I'm telling you guys, that is an excellent bait right now. That mullet, or that rip and splash this time of year, working that bait. It's a suspending bait, guys. You can't get any better than that. All right, where these fish are suspended. And also their stick minnow. It's a jerk bait. Gotta love the jerks. And the peewee min, which is a small crankbait, really hardcore killing it. These baits, I'm telling you, will set you apart from the rest of the crowd. But for more information, go to unfairlures.com, get the unfair advantage, and become a fish show, and let them know that Mark Lenny-Coo Wheeler sent you. For more information, again, go to unfairlures.com. All right. All right. All right, let's get right to it. All right, frog fishing. All right, I'm gonna dispel, excuse me, a couple of myths, okay? First myth, you can only throw frogs in the summertime. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to shoot that one underneath the bridge, okay, and tell you that that's false. And why is that? Reason is that nine times out of ten, if you can work a frog, like a walk-the-dog lure, okay, and with the colors I'm going to talk about tonight, you can fool that bass into thinking that that's a dying bluegill. Why do I say this? Why do I say it works? Because this winter, I have caught several bass throwing frogs just to keep myself in a good state. Okay, because anyone who knows me long enough knows I love throwing frogs. Okay, is that I will throw a frog all year long to keep that hand-eye coordination. We'll talk about that a little bit more tonight. Is that the colors I was using mimicked a bluegill, mimicked a shad. Okay, and the way I worked it real slow and in there. And this is a shallow lake that I was fishing. Okay, and worked it work. Let it sit there. I just sit there and do its thing. And then it wasn't like a boom. It wasn't a, you know, blow your mind kind of hit. It was a half slump, you know, that slurp and half roll that you'll get sometimes. And it was an immediate hookup. And that's when, I literally spent one day and threw a frog the whole day. And I caught eight fish. And I'm not talking pound and a halfers. I'm not talking even 2 pounders. I'm talking 3+ pounders. The kind of bag that if I put a five bass limit in there, if I wasn't in the top 10 in most tourneys, I would be winning, okay? The bag had to weigh at least 16, 17, 18 pounds. Okay, that'll put you in a lot of places, you know, top 10, top 5, you know, pretty good setup. Okay, so that's myth number one. Myth number two. You got to have specialized gear to throw frogs, don't you? Okay. Wrong. You can throw a frog with a spinning rod. You can throw a frog with a bait casting rod. You can throw a frog with a Barbie rod. You can use it by hand, okay? It is all about slack. More on that to come. Okay, and the third myth I hear all the time. I lose a ton of frogs. I freeze hook and set them too quick, and they just always pop them out of their mouth. Well, that would happen there, Bill Dance, if you quit yanking the frogs so damn hard out of their mouth, and it blows right out of their head. I'm telling you guys, the last thing you want to do on a frog is when they eat it, okay, is to make your rod and line sound like this. You don't want that. Okay? Why? And I'm going to tell you this right now. Why is that? Main reason is, 9 times out of 10, when they eat that frog, okay, they come up underneath it, and they're not coming in from behind it usually. They're coming in from the side. Okay? So coming in from the side, when they slurp it and they go down, the way those double hooks, okay, are on that bait, okay, starts riding right up the side of its mouth, right in the corner. It's not a circle hook, okay, and the way the balance is, it just works out just right. Where you snap that rod, the moment you see them, okay, you're going to lose them because it's going to basically just literally get in here, that come right out of his mouth. Okay, because you just shot it right out. Same thing with the football head, same thing with the same types. And we're going to talk about how to hook set these bass in a little bit. But We got some more people in the guest chat room. Oh, man, we got it rocking tonight, folks. We have Hammerhead Greg Crisp up in Vermont. Hopefully you're thawing out there, buddy. Oh, and here we go. A man that I've been waiting to play this for a while now. You should feel... Come on. My finger doesn't want to work. Come on. There. Yeah, there it is. The man, the myth, the legend himself. And the tackle web himself, Mr. Michael to go in the house, the chat room. Definitely check out his stuff, tacklewebs.com. Y'all, if you don't have tackle webs, I have two tackle webs in my truck, one underneath my dash, okay, to hold all my important information, the 16 by 20, I think it is, but it's perfectly underneath my dash. Then I got one in the back, the back of my seat, okay, that holds my kids' toys. Yeah, I use them tackle webs to hold toys. That's pro staff right there. Definitely check out his stuff. remember, guys, you know he's calling 714-816-4727. Let's get it to tackle. Yeah, get your fish on, man. How I throw frogs, okay? And it's simple like this. It's all up to the bait, the kind of frog you're throwing. Okay, and it all comes down to cover, all right? So the first way I'm going to tell you how to do it is one that 99% of the people are going to use them at. And also Tommy Head, Jigs, and Yak Chum are in the house. I'm the chat room. Definitely want to forget you guys. And this is how you're going to want to throw them. And this is how I throw them, again, 80% of the time. And it is pretty cool. Is a... heavy action rod with a fast tip, and I'm talking really fast, okay? You're looking for about no more than 6 inches of give on that tip, okay? That's for working this bait, okay? You can find the same thing, the spinning rod, you're golden. And to be truthfully honest with you, I throw frogs on a spinning rod, that is used for muskie, okay, a heavy rod. Why? 9 times out of 10, I'm not throwing these in open water, okay? And the ones I do throw with the spinning rod, I'm throwing a wicked distance. So we're talking 7.5-foot spinning rod if I was going to throw it on a spinning rod, okay? And you know what? I'm actually going to – I've got the Bass Pro catalog in my lap right now. For everyone to know what I'm exactly talking about, this is the Bass Book, okay? If you're a Bass Pro fan, or you get the book so you can stick it on the throne so you have some reading material, okay? I'm going to talk about this one rod. And it's a rod I have. You'd be like, you crazy? You crazy, white boy? And I'll be like, yes, I am. Okay? I can find it. Ah, screw it. It's the Skeet Reese series of rods for drop shot. Yeah, I said it. Drop shot. Okay? That's got a really fast tip. It's got a decent backbone to it. It's heavy duty, in a sense. Okay? Spinning rod terms for most of these bass guys. Okay? So it's going to be handled. The only baits you're going to throw with this style, okay, are the solid rubber ones. Your striking rage frogs, your horny toads, I'm pulling them up right now. If you want to follow along with me, we're on page 128. Your horny toads, your hump. Yeah, I'm going to say hump and toads from Bass Pro Shops. Your ribbit frogs from Stanley. Your rage toads, your money frogs. Those are the ones you have to throw on a spinning gear. Open water, no real difference. Launch that sucker, and you're going to want to crack it, okay, out there. And actually, thinking about it right now, is simple like this. The Bull Bay rods, I think it's the 5 to 10 or 10 to 15 spinning rod, and 7.5 foot is what you're going to want. No weight on that lure, you need something that's going to be able to crack the sucker out there. Nice long cast, because you're going to work it right along parallel banks, that little bit. Bait casting gear, okay? you're going to want a high-speed reel. 6x1, 7x1, whatever. Doesn't matter what kind you get. It could be the $20 one from Cabela's or Bass Pro or your local shop. It could be the, you know, $700 one from Shimano. You know, that one, that crazy one that I've been looking at for the past 5 years. That's actually got a computer chip in it. It really doesn't matter. Okay? And you gotta load that sucker with 50-pound braid. Okay? Simple as that. No more than 50, no less than 50 pounds, y'all. Okay? Because you're gonna put these baits into some thick stuff, you don't wanna have to worry about it. Okay? No leader. And I can hear, already hear guys going, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. You're going to want a leader on there, some sort of, throw all that crap out of your mind, y'all. We're changing the way we think on this show. We're not going back to the old school. We're going all new school on this. Literally, we're sitting here like the old school Red Hot Chili Peppers and going, we're going to change our mind. We're going to come out with something. Oh, come on, don't be playing this with me. You know, where they're going to rock it. Something like this. Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's how we're going to do it on the show from now on. We're not thinking old school. Granted, we're going to talk about some old school things, but we're all going to go new school. So we're going with 50-pound braid straight to a frog. Okay? Doesn't matter what kind of knot you use. Personally for me, San Diego Jam knot. All the way. It's a strong knot. Easy to tie. Check it out. And animated knots, I think, has it. And we're going to throw the hollow body frogs with this bad boy into the thickest cover you can find. The sloppier, the better. That's like a good prom date. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it. Okay, so, and Bobby Ross and Hansy, whatever you want to do. But tonight we're going to talk about 50-pound braid. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going big time. We're not talking about pound and a half little babies here. We're talking about slaunch, haunch, kitty cat crunch, big girls here, man. All right? We're not kidding. All right? So, with that being said, I'm going to take a quick break and get right to paying my bills. Yeah, right. With a quick word, because I'm excited now. I'm not going to take too much time with this. A quick word from these guys.
Give me the Flats of Dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. You got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, here's how it's going to work. For line, okay, I don't care what kind of braid you use. What do I use? I know that's what guys are going to ask. I've been using a bunch of different braids recently. And if you would have listened to my shows about 2 years ago, I talked about vicious braid, okay? That's all I'm using now. I have some cans in on a couple of my rods. I've got the Power Pros like everyone else uses. Reason I like the vicious braid, okay, and this is not, I'm not sponsored by them, this is a really good product. It's an uncoated braid. So basically what happens is, like, your Power Pros are coated, okay? Super Slick 8 isn't coated, okay? But because the Power Pro's coated, right, what happens is when that coating goes away, the line becomes chafed, you lose a ton of its strength, turns out a bad, bad deal, okay? You still use mono in fresh water. Now, if you're using crankbaits, you're trying to keep them off the bottom, I can understand that. Everything else, mono is, you know, mono's like, you know, that old guy sitting there looking, you know, looking at, you know, your big bag of fish when you come in. He's like, I don't use that braid, it cuts through my, okay, enough of that. Anyway, so, here we go. Hollow body frogs, and that's where we're going to really went into this. Three frogs, I'm going to tell you to pick up three different styles. okay, are the Spro Bronze Eye Frogs. Dean Rojas came out with a great frog, was it 6 years ago? There's a reason for that. And the reason it's still so big today is because it is so awesome, okay? It is a great frog. So Dean Rojas frog, the Poppin' Frog from, I think it's Jackal makes it? Because I've got it sitting in front of me, okay? But Spro makes a Poppin' Frog, okay? And then the third one I'm going to tell you to go buy is whatever you want. Live Target, great frog. Booyah, great frog. That Bass Pro one, great frog. Jackal makes a good one too, but not that great. Okay. So, we're going to base everything tonight. We're going to talk about use the Spro Frog, okay? And the colors. I hear people say, I'm going to go as natural as possible. That's great. Leopard. It is a great color. I use it all the time. I use Rainforest Black or Rainforest, Green Pumpkin. There you go. Hang on, man. Green Pumpkin, that's not a frog color. You look at it in the book, it's like, well, it looks like a toad more than anything, but, man, it looks like a bluegill. And what's that one there? Is that killer gill? That looks like a bluegill, too. And I see one here, Nasty Shad. Come on, man. Bass aren't going to eat something that looks like a shad. And I'm telling you, the way we're going to talk about it tonight is I believe more than anything that in open water or where bluegill are predominant forage, okay, that bass thinks that that's a bluegill or a shad skittering on the surface. And it's all in how you present it, okay? You want that bass to think that he's going to get a big old meal of gill. That's all he can think of is the after effects, and that's it right there. It's a big old bit. It's a big old slaw. Okay? That's what you want in the thing, that he's going to get a big old burp afterwards, okay? So, tie on a frog, okay? What you're going to do before you tie one on, as simple as this. Those skirts you put on there are way too long, y'all. Trim them up. Take about an inch off. And then take one of the skirts. If you're superstitious, okay, and you only step on the boat with your right foot, or you only do one thing left or right, whatever it is, you always turn right instead of left. Hey, that's whatever. Oh, yeah, a frog imitating a fish. And I'm going to explain to you why here in a minute. Okay? So you trim up that skirt a little bit. Pick a leg, okay? And then at a 45-degree angle, snip it off another half inch. So it's half inch shorter than the other side. Now, why'd you do this? Okay? You are displacing the weight of this lure. So it's going to slightly cant over to one side when it's in the water. It's not going to be really prevalent. You have to really look close to it. But it's only going to lean a little bit. All right? Right now, you have just created a great bait. You just took a great bait and made it even better. All right? So, boom. You're going to cast this thing out. you can cast this sucker out, right? And we'll talk about cover for a second, too. You see, I'm jumping around because I'm so excited about this, all right? I'm actually sweating. It's like 30 degrees in my house, but I'm sweating. Thinking about throwing frogs. Okay. Where are you going to throw frogs? Everyone thinks throwing around lily pads behind, on top of, hydrilla and duckweed and all that. That's great. And that's what they were meant for when they first were created. But I'm telling you, throwing them in open water, throwing them in trees, and this is where that bluegill thing comes in, and that fish thing, okay? Trees, stumps, grocery carts, you name it, okay? So you're going to send that bait out there. Hits the water. Let it sit there for a second, okay? Now, your retrieve is going to be simple, okay? It's basically slack line. Take that rod tip and pop it, okay? 3 or 4 times, pop, 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 pop. fish is going to skitter left and right, duck under, and kind of splash and pop. Let it sit there for a second and let it lean. You'll see it happen. And then again, with slack line, pop, 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 taking up a little bit of slack as you're going along. Make that bait work all the way through there. If you're in duckweed, if you're in, you know, pit, lily pads or whatever, you know, you're going to sit in those holes, all right? So let it sit there for a second and then bring it, you know, keep moving it. You can literally make that bait stay in one spot on a slack line and just shake that rod tip with that fast action. Make that bait skitter along the surface. And you can actually make the bait, if you do it right, you know, travel, you know, left. You do it again, it'll travel right. And it's really an effective trick, man. Because you're going to shake that rod tip, you're going to skitter and stop. Okay? It's not the old school way of doing it where you're popping the nose through the water. You're actually walking the dog. You actually notice it's a really, I mean, it's really traveling 1 or 2 inches side to side, and it's only going about 4 inches total. All right? By working it like that, it's going to make it, if you take a bluegill, for instance, okay, or you see a bluegill or a shad, that's hurt. It's on the surface. It's going to go tat, 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 and not go very far and just kind of split it on the surface. Okay, and then sit there for a second. Okay? This is where the green pumpkins, the nasty shads, the bluegill colors, okay, are really going to shine. All right? And I use this a lot in the late fall, okay, early spring, when the bass start feeding, when things start really starting to feed to make babies. You know, when things are starting to, you know, get their makeup on, get all nice and pretty, you know, and, you know, hit the buck fast, like, yeah. That's what's happening, all right? So they're feeding, they herd a bluegill, skitter along the surface. This is when I'm going to throw those style of frogs, okay? This is when I'm going to throw a frog in the timber, the thick stuff. You don't have to worry about leaves or anything else. You can actually take that frog and you can skip it. It's going to help draw their attention up and look up more than anything. Okay, so they're going to sit there and they'll look up and they see the bait and they're going to focus on that sucker. You know, watch it flip on the surface and splash and pop and shimmy. Then when it gets close up, they come up and hammer it. It's easier for them to come up and eat something than it is for them to go down because there's a thermocline, especially this time of year, near deeper lakes. I'm talking anything over 8 feet. You have a real predominant thermocline. They're not going to hit the bottom. They're going to go up. Simple as that. So skip those baits in there. Get in the deep stuff because they are so weedless. They really are awesome for it. Now, with that in mind, you're going to want to add a little bit of something. I think Jackal has it. Almost certainly they're the ones that have it. They have rattles inside these now. I put rattles in all my frogs. Okay, and I'm not talking about buying yourself a rattle. You can literally take the beads from a broken up spinnerbait, the brass beads, okay? Pull out the hook, okay? And through that little body cavity with the hook, where the hook chain came through, you can stuff beads all through there, okay? all right. That's going to create a little rattle, a little more commotion, really get their attention. Later in the year, when I really start hearing those frogs peeping, when it really starts getting difficult, when everyone else is throwing a bunch of other gear, that's when we're going to get into the second part of throwing frogs. But with that being said, and to commemorate Yak Chum blowing up the bathroom, really, man. And welcome to Tim Morsch in the chat room, Mr. Jason Self. What's going on, y'all? we're going to take another quick little break. I need a little sip from my brew of choice for tonight. But like I said, quick break. We'll be right back. Check it out, y'all.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Rods offers a full line of customized rods with handcrafted designs and world-class quality. Each rod is equipped with their patent-pending Senzi grip, allowing you to feel what's happening under the surface. Go to BullBayRods.com and check out their awesome line of fishing rods and apparel, too. Feel the bite with Bull Bay Rods. All right. All right, I've been jumping around, y'all, and I do apologize. Hopefully y'all are learning something. Now, and I explained at the beginning of the show, and I know some guys are going, hang on, man. How is he saying a fish? The reason is because this winter I've been throwing frogs, okay, to check out, but basically just to keep my frog fishing experiences and confidence up, okay? Make sure I can still work that frog like I want it to. And I've been catching bass, okay? When the air temps are like 33 degrees, water temps are 39, where top water shouldn't be catching diddly, I've been doing really well, okay? And the thought process behind that by, you know, having the ability to listen to interviews from Dean Rojas, from Ish Monroe, from, you know, Alton Jones, guys that throw frogs, okay? Jared Lintner, another big frog thrower, okay? Listen to these guys talk about them, okay, and how they work them. I really found that throwing frogs, and this happened last summer too, throwing frogs away from the cover in open water is absolutely legit. It's too legit to quit, y'all. You know, and I'm going old school with that now. And I know Mike's like, oh man, he just did not go there. And Cameron's like, man, I was like 35 at that time. And Tommy's like, man, I was 52. Anyway, old person's like, where's that? Didn't. I can't find it. Anyway, working those frogs in open water, okay? There's two ways of doing it. You can do the pop way, okay? Where you basically just pop that nose as you run it at a pretty fast clip, okay, which is boop, 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 okay, which is jumping, kind of, okay? Really working like a frog, okay? It comes up and they, boom, they hit it, okay? Now, I mentioned those popping frogs. This is where I really like them is in open water because that stump, okay, open water, I never throw in truly open water, okay? I look for stumps, for logs, for whatever, okay? And I especially like this on stumps where they just hit the surface and I know those bass are sitting around it or even underneath docks, anything where I don't want to move the bait. Very far. I want to keep it in the generalized area for a while. That popping frog, send it out there. Boom, hits the water. You get to where you want to go. I don't even pop it until I get to where I want it. I put a lot of slack in my line, okay? And then I pop the piss out of it as hard as I can. And that little frog is literally going to go and not move. It's going to spurt some water and then sit there. As it's sitting there, it's going to slightly rotate. Remember, I've do the same trimming, so this way it'll turn. Pop it a couple more times, and it'll blip, blip, blip. I want to keep it there, so let it sit there. And especially if I can put it right over top of that log, or sitting dead center of where that cutout is, okay? The reason is, if you watch a frog, he skitters out across there, if his legs can touch the top of that, he'll sit there for a second. He'll sit there for a minute. He feels secure. There's nothing that can get him from directly underneath. I'm telling you, get one more pop and take it off that center, there's going to be one, two, maybe three bass attacking that with a vengeance, okay? Really effective. All right, I'm going to break off here for a second. Mike Ortego asked about anybody ever throw the birds. When and where does something like that work? And I used one this weekend. I forget who made it. I actually got it from another guy I was fishing in that small tournament this weekend with. And the reason I borrowed it from the guy is because we had a bunch of starlings in the bushes, and I saw two starlings fall in the water, and it just seemed too good not to use them on this lake I was at. The birds. I might keep something on here. It's like a frog. I got one called the Flipping Bird. I think that's exactly the one I've got. The Shite shows this guy at the decrushing question in the World War IV. Yes, they were great. And I was throwing them into timber where the birds were sitting. Okay? And what you were doing with them is, again, real slack line, and you just pop the tip of the rod. That's why a really fast tip is important. So it kind of gives it it takes the slack out and gives it a little snap. It makes it pop and skitter. Okay, same thing you're doing with these frogs is what you're doing with those birds. And you know what? I would actually think they would work better in Florida than Mike, because you guys have so many water-oriented fowl, okay? And I would actually say if you threw them like at a like an Okeechobee, where they've got the tall standing reeds, where you had the red winged swamp birds, I call them, would be great. Lake Seminole with those overhanging trees would work great. The St. John's, okay, where the St. John's has all those laydowns, would be another place I'd throw that bait. Especially the red-winged blackbird. Look at you just popping that out there, Mike. You know, hooray for you. You know, working that bait in those areas. It is something I've seen bass do. I've seen bass eat ducklings. I've seen bass eat or try to take a bite out of swans, okay, loons, whatever. If you had the red wing one, I would almost be certain that if you threw that in those swampy areas where if you see one of those red wings, that is probably something, a bass, a big bass. I'm not talking 2, 3, 4, 5 pounders. We're talking 5-plus pounders, ones that can get a bird in their maw to begin with. That's where I would throw them. And you're not going to get quantity. You're going to get quality bass. And that's actually, I caught one bass on one of them this weekend. Baby turkeys. I bet you that would work too. Big old fuzz head running around. But then again, if a bass try to eat a fuzz head, you're talking a 10-plus pounder. you're going to get quality. You're not going to catch a bunch. You're only going to get quality there, buddy. So, thank you, Mike, for completely losing my train of thought. I was lucky because we had all those starlings and those birds in the trees, and they were shaking the trees, knocking stuff down, and I threw that in there just to try it. I already had three bass limit for myself. Threw it in there, pop, pop, pop. And I came out with a 7.5, almost 8-pounder. And this was Sunday, post-front, nasty conditions, giving you an idea. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with one of them if you just need a kicker bass. So, back to frogs. Where was I at? Open water, popping frog. Again, don't be afraid to pop those frogs. Let them sit there and do their thing. Now, if you can get really good with it, okay, something I've been doing recently, kind of just playing around, is taking a hollow body frog, filling it up with water. Again, this style, you're going to put a bunch of brass beads, take a tube, a glass one, stuff it in there and break it. You're going to try and make as much commotion as possible. Build up water. Send it out there. Let it sink down a little bit, okay? And then burn it. Don't Don't work the rod or anything on this. Just burn it in. Let the weight of the water keep that just underneath. And it's going to turn into a wake bait. And with the spros, with the live targets, especially the live targets, it'll give it a wobble. And you actually watch that wake. It's got kind of got a back tail, the back end kind of flops out of it. And it wobbles and wobbles and wobbles and wobbles just under the surface. You're not wanting to skip it on the surface, just underneath the surface. Alka-Seltzer's in a hollow body. I could see that, create some fuzz. Seltzers. S-E-L-T-Z-E-R-S. There you go. All right. close enough. Anyway, it's a great bait for when you're high-pressured area. They've seen everything else. There you go. Okay. Let's see here. What did I miss? I had to pick up my kid. Just more frog stuff there, buddy. Now, we're talking about hard body frogs. And I classify all hard frogs, they make a bunch of hard plastic ones now, strictly as a walk-the-dog bait, same as a bugger all, a spook. I don't really see them as the same concept as these hollow body. Because hollow body frogs, literally 365, 24/7. 24/7. Nighttime. Only makes sense, y'all, to throw a frog at night, okay? Considering that's when most frogs come out, right? Literally, there should be a little something in your head should have just went off. If you never thought of this before, it should have been a, come on. I just had it. I'm really hating my, it's not this sound. That's the wrong one. That might work for Matt, but, not me. Maybe a sound like this. You can have one of these small M. How about two more? There you go. Should have gone off of your head. Throwing frogs at night. Okay. It is truly a deadly technique. And I'm going to tell you, any dark colors, the midnights, the all blacks, the all purples, okay, are what you're going to throw. Now, the key to throwing frogs at night is this. And we'll be right back after a word from one of my sponsors again, probably this one here.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers. Made 100% in the USA. Always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.
Now, you hear me talk about Tommy Head Jays, you chat with them in the chat room and everything else, and you go, what is so special about Tommy Heads? Why did Mark all of a sudden, Landing Crew, start talking about these jigs? Why? Because they are so awesome, okay? I truly never really understood how great these things were until I actually got them, okay? Now, I challenge you to buy some Tommy Heads and try them out. The reason is this. In tournament fishing, and I'm a tournament fisherman, time is of the essence. And when you can take one jig head and do a million things with it and never have to tie on a new one, says something about it. Let me give you an example. It's a shaky head. So you're running that shaky head. You're running that trick worm, right? And you're catching bass. But then you look around the corner. Oh, man, there's some pads. And I bet you I could punch through those tiny cracks. But I wish I had a jig that I could tie on here. and you literally have only seconds. Boom. You reach in your box, there's a skirt. Throw the skirt on there. Why? Because there's a double collar. Okay? There's a collar and a barb on this thing. Throw it on there. Then you reach in there and grab a missile big D-bomb. Y'all, if you don't haven't tried the D-bomb, it is the crazy bait. You slide that D-bomb on there, now you have a weedless jig. You're pitching it in there. You look over. And if you live down south, you know what I'm talking about. The spots are blowing up. And you're going, oh, man. Oh, what am I going to do? Strip off the skirt, strip off the D-bomb, throw on a fluke. Work that fluke through there. Boom, you're tearing them up. Right? And then you look over. Like, oh, there it is. The mother load. Okay? There. Sitting there pretty for you. Is the perfect spot to throw a spinnerbait or a swim bait. Pull it off, throw a swim bait on there. Literally, your choices are awesome. Are just it's an infinite choices with one jig head. So definitely check out Tommy Head Jigs. I cannot say enough about them. Tommy is a great supporter of myself and a friend of Kayak Fishing Radio. So definitely check them out. Go to TommyHeadJigs.com and tell them Mark Lennon-Crew Wheeler sent you. Check them out, y'all. Again, that's TommyHeadJigs.com. All right, that last spot, and welcome back to the Low Sodium Show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. I talked about the D-bomb. It is my new one of my new favorite flip and pitch baits. It's from Missile Baits. It's John Cruise, the Cruise Missile, as Dave Mercer calls him. It's like a creature bait. It works great on a flipping hook with a 1.5 ounce tungsten with a punch skirt. I'm just saying, drop that into a thick piece of pad and a little duckweed. Just wait for the thunk. And then that's when you can do one of these kind of hook sets, the ones that we all love to do. The crack. Yeah, yeah. And one more time because I love that sound. Yeah. Anyway, back to frogs. Throwing frogs at night. And the trick throwing them at night, okay, as simple as this. You know, throw it out there, it's going to hit the water. But that's just at a 10. If you just started off throwing frogs, you're not going to hit the water, you're going to hit the trees or anything else. That's why throwing frogs at night is so great because they don't get hung up. Just pop them right out, okay, hits the water. That's all you do. Just let it sit there. It's going to drive you nuts. Okay, then all you can do is pop it, let it sit, pop, 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 pretty much as fast as you're going to go, okay? See, Tim, hang on, I'm going to take a second and stop here. Tim's going, has a little Pinocchio nose thing going on there. The thing is, I say this about the Tommy Heads because if I didn't have them, this weekend, I really think, I don't know if I would have done as well in this tournament. I was sitting as a backseater guy on a bass boat where a guy had the trolling motor cranked up. Give you an idea, we had to switch out batteries twice because he was draining them because he was moving so fast. And if I would have taken the time to change baits midway through, you know, retying, I would have been screwed, okay? Be able to switch up like I just said. Was key to me doing as well as I did. So, you know, when you're talking about money on the line, and that comes to something really important. Anyway, the I just forgot it. Where was that? Anyway, when you run that bait, okay, at night, and that just nice little dunk, 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 okay. That sound is going to draw them up. And if you have a night where you have the moon shining or you have ambient light, and I'm talking, dock lights, whatever, and that bait just dook, 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 looks like a frog without a care in the world, that's going to drive a bass schizo. That bass is going to come up and tear him. And just boom, boom, you know, just lose his mind. Commenting on him blushing. All right, cool. But it's just saying. And that's when you're going to get into. What the heck? That's when you get into things like, you sucker. The pig of the week. I know y'all have been looking for it. It's the pig of the week. And the pig of the week goes to a buddy of mine, Mr. Dennis Slater, on Lake Cahoon this past weekend, hammered a 9-pound, 12-ounce bass. Okay? This thing was utterly massive. And literally, if we would have gave it 2 or 3 more days, you would have seen that bass push 10 pounds. It was really a stellar bass. So, again, Dennis gets the Slayer of the Week, or the Pig of the Week. There we go. But, yeah, throwing frogs at night, you can never go wrong. It's truly a great technique at night. And, you know, it's great. Makes you think of barbecue. Yes, it does. Really a great way of catching some of your biggest bass, and a lot of bass, too, at that point. Now, we're going to get into... So I want to make sure everyone in the chat room has me. If you have any questions, post them now. Please do.
Anything?
No. We're going to talk about our buddies, our pals, or at least my pals, the guys on the Bassmaster Circuit. They're fishing Lake Falcon this weekend, guys. Falcon is known as a big bass hole. There's some few bass in there that weigh over 10 pounds, I'm just saying. But these big bass are in it this weekend. Had the great joy of chatting with Brandon Pollack and John Cruz earlier today. Both these guys are really, really excited. Good pre-fishing. One thing they did say is that the water levels are really low on Falcon, just like everywhere else in Texas. But the bass are literally everywhere. For those guys like to flip, you know, or run shallow, you know, your Gerald Swindells, your KVDs. Granted, KVD loves throwing deep, but when he has an opportunity between, you know, 10, you know, I'm going to say 5 to 15 foot, where he can run those crankbaits, where he can run those jerkbaits, the spinnerbaits, stuff like that, he's going to go and do it, and he's going to do very well. So definitely watch out for KVD this weekend. I really think he's going to bust out from a couple of semi-decent, you know, the classic, he did okay. The last one in the Sabine didn't do so hot. Those, I don't think, really fit his style as much. You can really see that in the classic in the last days, where guys are really having to work a bait slower. I really don't think the KVD can do that. He's such a quick power finesse, power fisherman that, you know, you watch other guys that were, you know, Cliff Pace. I watched a video on him through ESPN. He was literally taking that jerkbait and snapping it once and then counting a 7 and waiting, snapping it again, and that's how he was winning it. Alton Jones, again, that's really fits into his style, throwing in those brush piles, the man-made brush piles, because they're showing up everywhere now where guys have sunk brush, you know, throughout the years. He's going to be throwing the jigs. Tommy Biffle, I really think he's going to excel this weekend. Jeff Crete, another guy. The Squirrel. I really think Squirrel is going to do well. Cruz is extremely excited. He's found some big bass. Polinick just really runs into his thing, you know, running those baits deep. Timmy Hortons, running deep crankbaits, running Carolina rigs. These are the guys you're going to have to watch out. I really think to even be in the money this weekend with this bass tournament, you're going to see bags of up to 25 pounds plus just to be in the money. You come in with 20 pounds, I don't think you're going to make it to the top 20 cutoff. I really think that's the way it's going to be. Even the top 50. And we're talking almost 60 pounds here by the time, you know, Saturday comes along. If they launch tomorrow, I wish them all the best of luck. But I really think that it's going to be a big bass showdown. With that being said, if it turns into hard competition, I said Tim, not the other one, because I wish the other one nothing more than an ice pick in the eye. But being those guys that can, you know, really find the groups of bass, because these bass are already up on spawns. They're already in those spots, those staging areas. They're already in the pre-spawn mode. Other bass are in deep, still in a wintering pattern. They're chasing shad. They're doing all these different things. You're going to see guys that you never thought to come up. And I really think Swindell, I had a great opportunity of talking with him again 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he was less worried about Sabine and more worried about Falcon. He was more focused talking about Falcon than he was about Sabine. He did okay in Sabine. But, and Jonathan Van Dam, that boy can throw a deep crankbait really well. He can run those swim baits as well. Ishman Rowe, those wet, Skeet, I can tell you, Skeet's going to throw a swim bait. One of those big shads, you know, BBZs or bulls. He's going to send them out there and bring them back in, you know, a couple 9-pounders. I guarantee you, you're going to see a couple 10-pounders put in because, again, the water's down. You don't have very much anywhere to go, and you can really pick out those real deep spots that you guys used to really keep away from. Because of that thermocline, again, because it's down, the thermocline is going to be lower. They're going to really kill it. My boy Ish, y'all, three tournaments in a row, Ish has been in the money. He's due. I mean, there's so many guys that are due, and I really think Falcon's there. Takahiro Amori. This is his home lake. It fits into those lakes that he used to fish in Japan. He moved to Texas. He fishes Falcon all the time. This is one you're going to have to watch out for, folks, I really think. And remember, you can watch all the weigh-ins and go, you know what? Landy Crew was right. I mean, 25 pounds is taking, you know, 25th spot. I'm telling you guys, it's going to be 25 for 25. So, that being said, go to Bassmaster.com. I know Mike Ortego, you guys, Mike Iaconelli, and thank God no one was hurt during that incident. He actually, I almost got that boat back in the water. He kept on fishing. But Mr. Mike Ortego, Steve Chapman, and Boo Boo Boudreau have a fantasy league going on the Bassmaster site, the Bassmaster Fantasy Team. Join up there. You probably do better than I am because I'm sucking it right now. So definitely check them out. I think that's going to cover all of our bases, I think, for tonight. We hit the pig of the week. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to ask. Remember, you can always contact me at landingcrew@kayakfishingradio.com. Ooh, you win a safe base mask. I could use that on Gaston the other week, man. We literally launched in 29 degree weather, and I'm going to tell you right now, running 75 miles an hour on that bass boat, literally your nose starts dripping, and you know you're going fast and it's cold, that the snot running out of your nose is filling up your ear, okay? That's how fast we were going. It was just awesome. So save face, again, you can go to Bassmaster.com, go to tournaments. It's going to see on the far right, it's going to say fantasy. Click on that, sign in, get your picks in before tomorrow. You'll be golden. All right, y'all. Again, I'd like to thank everyone that showed up. Chris Johnson already pulled off. Jason Self pulled off early. Everyone in the app land, hope you enjoyed the show. Again, please send me questions. You catch a big bass, let me know. You'll get the pick of the week. I thank everyone for showing up. I can't thank y'all enough. And one more shout out to my man, Michael Ortego, Captain Michael Ortego, I should say, and his tackle webs. You heard me talk about him earlier. I've got them on everything. I actually take them onto the boats now that I go on, and they help me keep everything organized. Well, I'm changing out baits, just stuff them in there, and Mike, I can't say enough about your product, brother. Just awesome. And definitely try a frog when it's cold. It'll change your life. Hopefully soon we'll have those videos up of stuff, so this way you can see what I'm talking about. And speaking of Mike's Tackle Webs, Boca Coolers is now putting Tackle Webs on all their coolers, turning an already incredible cooler into a freaking awesome cooler by putting those Tackle Webs on the back. Truly awesome. Again, thank you, Orca Coolers, another sponsor of mine. Jackson Kayaks. Folks, this weekend I will be up in New Jersey at the Paddle Sports Show on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You're going to want to be there because I'm going to be showing off a new product. And, yeah, should be great. Which size one is that? I don't know off the top of my head. The 16x12, make sure you get the one with the rivets and not the Velcro sticky, because it won't stick to the back of the Jackson seat. With the rivets, you can actually tie them on to the handles. Yak Chum will be there. I'll be there. It'll be a great time. Tune in Saturday to Mike, Steve Chapman, and Boudreaux show. It'll be great. Always is. A great show last weekend, dude. I loved it. I think Hammerhead Greg Crisp, Unfair Lures, Tommy Head Jigs, both these guys are my sponsors. I cannot thank them enough for everything they do for me. YakAngler.com. Y'all, if you're not a member of YakAngler, you're wrong. Bull Bay Rods. I'm telling you guys, I'm coming out with a line of freshwater rods for Bull Bay. The first one coming out is the Bomb Dropper. It's a flip pitch rod, and I truly think it's going to be setting a whole new precedent in sensitivity and throwing these bigger baits like everyone's doing now. And Slayer Rings. I think I got everyone. Again, I cannot thank everyone else showing up. Actually, we're approaching my 3-year mark, if you can believe it. I know I can't. And I can't thank everyone for showing up again. It truly means so much. Again, let's thank everyone in the chat room. Hammerhead Greg Chris, Mike Ortego, Tim Morris, Tommy Head Jigs, and Yak Chum Mac Trucks. With that, say goodnight. Hope you have dreams of big bass, big crappie, catfish, or whatever you want to catch. I hope you catch a big one soon. Again, take a good fishing, always wear your PFD, and get your fish on, man. With that, we're going to leave with a little bit of suck my tears. Good night, everybody. Catch you next week.